actually went back and checked the order of service just to make sure I'm on now, because that went by so quick, it doesn't feel like I should be up here yet. So we're having a little wee break from Ephesians. It's Communion Sunday, and I didn't want to just add it on the end of the service, but spend the whole time considering communion, what God has done for us, even how wonderful His grace is for us. Are you enjoying the love that God has for you? And I see some head bobs. We're Mennonite brethren, so we won't get too charismatic here, but what prevents us, what stops us from enjoying the love and grace of God in our lives, right? Can it be when somebody cuts us off in traffic? Bam, joy gone, love out the window, grace done. We're just derailed, right, for a moment. Or does it take something bigger, something relationship going on, or whatever else? How do we come back? He says, do this in remembrance of me. Come back to, it's all about what He has done and our responding to Him, receiving His love, being transformed in His presence. There's so many things there. And often, I think, you know, with a focus on communion, we think, well, this should be a really somber, reflective service. Those are good things, but it's maybe not at all. There's things to celebrate. We are called to examine ourselves, but maybe it can also become a little distant from life, from real life, right? We come here and we go, thanks God for what you did, and bam, we're right back into our week, not living any differently, even though we just met for communion. What a tragedy, because He comes and abides with us. He's in us. We don't want to be flippant or disrespectful, certainly, but maybe we can relax it a little bit, and it'll help us connect to real life. What if something happened that was really out of the ordinary and struck somebody as really funny? Have you ever been in a situation where it was totally inappropriate to laugh, but something struck you as really, really funny? I have, and I never want to be there again. So awkward. But what if something happens? You know what has happened in communion services in the past? Beverly and I know a guy who was just, I think his completely first time in church, certainly the first time he'd been at a communion service, set up kind of like today. There was bigger mounds of bread for whatever reason. And he came in, sits in the, you know, near the back, but beside a young adult, and he leans over during the service. He knew this young adult a little bit through someone else, but nudges him. He goes, hey, what's with dessert? And that young adult had an opportunity to respond, whatever, it can strike us as funny or whatever. I think some honest questions like that are totally acceptable. It's great, right? We don't want to be hindering someone else's journey and meeting with God. But honest questions, I think if some children here, or even some of us as adults, are going, what's going on right now? And it's an honest question. I don't think that's disrespectful to God or anyone else. It's part of the journey. There was another setting, story I read a while ago, that it was in a church where they celebrated communion. Usually we celebrate it this way, right? Our servers come up here and they pass the bread out. They pass it to the person on the end of the pew who passes it along, right? Some churches nobody else passes it. The servers need to take it to everybody. Some, they call them forward. Well, this church did it like we usually do, right? Passing the cubes of bread and then passing the juice later and stuff. But they also practiced it sometimes where everybody came forward and it was the rip and dip method. So it's a full loaf of bread and then you rip off, dip it in the juice, and take it that way. Well, I think he was still in his teens. It wasn't a young adult. He was serving, holding the elements there, and a senior woman come forward, and don't know if it was because they did it different ways, different times, or what. But she became confused after she wrestled her bread out of there. She looks at the cup he's holding, thinks about it, looks at the cup. Just a word of, you know, you can dip it and then take it that way, probably would have solved it. But he didn't. He just stood there silently holding the elements. And then, in her moment of confusion, she just flips it, makes a basket right in the juice. And it struck that poor young guy. So he's standing there serving communion, but, right, he's doing that, shaking the juice. So now it's washing this bread into the juice. How can he not laugh? It's, you know, somebody could have scowled at him or whatever else. But life happens, and maybe it helps us that, you know what, this isn't just a meal to happen out here somewhere. We do it Sunday morning, and then bam, we go into our week, and it has no impact. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, that we would be transformed. We would be renewed in our spirit. We would be realigned or more aligned with the truth of who he is, what he's done for us, and who we are in him, and live out of that. I really like serious communion services. I really like where it's more casual. I really like small settings of communion where you know 100% everybody's on journey with Christ, and you can take different levels of risk with that, how you share it, how you participate in it. I like them formal. I like them informal. I like them silent and reflective. I like them noisier and built into a whole meal, much like I think there were more back in biblical times. It's about meeting with Christ, and it's about Christians, followers of Christ, coming together to celebrate who he is and what he's done. And thus, in light of that, who we are and what he wants to do through us. And each of these different styles can convey some truth. Communion is an element of worship that should bring us all together. It's a moment when unity is created out of diversity. All the things we can disagree about, fight about, argue about, whatever else. Communion, this is right down to the basics, right down to the foundation. It's about Christ and him crucified and what he's done and who we are as a result of that. We can do it in different ways and believe different things about it, but at the root, we come to the moment of communion and acknowledge that we have been made one in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We haven't been common. So come this morning. Come as real as possible. If you giggle, there's grace for that. If you cry, there's grace there too. Be free to come before this amazing, awesome God as you really are, not as we wish we were. Right? We often walk in the church door. Hey, how are you? Fine. 90% of us lied. Right? To some degree or another, there's something that's broken in our lives right now. Now, we can be honest and say most of life is good and whatever else. We don't want to complain. But where are we truly just simply real? Come as real as possible. Come in remembrance of Jesus. Who he is, his character, what he's done, his actions and his words. What stands out to you today as we celebrate communion? If you're not a follower of Jesus, just encourage you to watch what goes on here when the elements are passed. Come and receive what God wants to give you. Right? We're talking about him being a generous God. He gave himself for us. He wasn't done giving when he gave himself for us. He's still giving us good gifts. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. You ready to receive something from God this morning? Just prepare yourself to receive. And then come to respond to Jesus in an appropriate way today. Do this in remembrance of me. I want to walk briefly through three things here this morning. Look at 2 Corinthians, a few verses. And as we do, the outline will come up there. we in Christ, believers, are one made new. Two, we are reconciled. And three, we are ambassadors. So again, receive what God wants to give you and choose how am I going to respond? What's an appropriate response today? It's likely not all three of those, but at least one of those applies to every one of us here today. Do we know? Do we need to be more rooted that we are made new? If we've received Christ, the old is gone and the new has come. And we need it. Wow. Thank you for that new revelation, that growth in that area, God. Do we need to know that we are reconciled? Or we stand on whatever, something broken in there. Or that we are ambassadors. Let's walk through these three. I want to read the passage first. Before I do that, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for sending your Son. Jesus, thank you for coming. Not only coming, but completely, perfectly fulfilling Scripture, all the prophecies, living a perfect life, and returning to the Father after your crucifixion, sending the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you teach us. I ask you to teach us here this morning. Lead us on our spiritual journeys, God, today. We ask in your name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. There's a lot in those statements. Powerful words. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Here's a summary of what's been accomplished and why. And in Christ, we are made new. We are made new. Verse 17 again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. There's a businessman some years ago in London named Lindsay Clegg, tells the story of a warehouse that he had for sale. And he'd bring different people through to show them the building. It had been empty for months, needed repairs. Vandalism had happened, damaged doors, smashed windows, piles of garbage, or rubbish if you live south of the 49th. So as he showed the property to prospective buyers, Clegg took great pains to let them know he would clean it up, replace the broken doors and windows and whatever. He just didn't want to do it before it was sold because fix it and then nobody moves in. Probably going to get wrecked again. So he's explaining this all the way through. The one buyer says to him, stop. I don't need the explanation. Forget it. I'm not buying it to utilize the building. I'm going to demolish it and build something completely different. I don't want the building, I want the site. Compared with the renovation God has in mind, our efforts to improve our own lives are as trivial as sweeping a warehouse slated for the wrecking ball. And sometimes that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to clean up our own lives before God, the new tenant, the new owner, not tenant, the owner moves, takes possession of it. And some of us, even post coming to Christ, are still trying to do that. We're trying to clean things up in our life. He says, it's okay. I don't want the building. I want the site. And I'm going to build something brand new. This passage is talking about He makes all things new. He wants the permission to build. Bring transformation. A pastor was visiting one of his members of his congregation in the hospital, and they talked about how strange and yet really not so strange it is that the more mature you become as a Christian, the less worthy you feel to be a child of God. He writes, it seems strange because the closer you come to Christ, the more His character rubs off on you. But it's not so strange because the closer we get to the real beauty of Christ, the more obvious and ugly our remaining sin appears. You ever feel that tension, that conundrum? Even as we're being transformed, we are made new. There's a brand newness to it, and yet a lot of transformation on working that out in our lives needs to happen, doesn't it? Well, the gentleman who was visiting, Andrew, had a great illustration. He says, when you are sweeping a hall, you may feel pretty good about clearing up all that dirt away. And then suddenly, you come down near the window and the beam of light's coming in. And you realize all that dust is floating in the air, right? I see by some of your responses you've experienced that. So have I. When you're right in the light, you can really see what's going on. Thankfully, God hides that from us to a large degree. But we can still see it over time. That doesn't negate that we're made brand new. That we are brand new. That's our identity. See, we're taking a break from Ephesians this morning, but it's still our identity. It was, we are brand new. Right? And it's okay to be a little confused about that. So were they in Scripture, right? Teacher of the law comes to Jesus. He says, what? I don't really get this. He talks to him about, unless you're born again. What? Can't crawl back into my mother's womb. That's craziness. He goes, you a teacher of the law don't get this? You're brand new. Brand new. Do you understand that? You've got a brand new identity. That's the starting point. If we're in Christ, the old is gone. The new is gone. And over vision, it's a process of aligning, allowing Him to transform, do His work in us, as well as through us. But do you even understand that? You're brand new. Other people around us need to know, have a new start as well. He says, do this in remembrance of me. If we take communion, is that the part that you take hold of today? Oh, I've been trying to start from over here. Sweep the corners, trying to put on a, change myself and my own strength, not starting from a place of, I'm brand new. Do this in remembrance of me as you remember Jesus. Take hold of that. Let Him penetrate your life in a deeper, different way. In Christ we are new. In Christ we are also reconciled. This word reconciled is when things are made right. Things are broken in relationship and then they're set right. They're made right again. If Christ came to reconcile the world to God, then there must be a state of separation, alienation, estrangement. All those words mean broken, not as they were intended to be, not as they used to be. One would not speak of reconciling true, loyal, and trusting friends, for example. One would not speak of reconciling two casual acquaintances. They don't really know each other. There hasn't what's to reconcile. They can grow together. They can have a new relationship, but not a reconciled one because it hasn't been broken yet. One man in New York. Oh, sorry, that's of the people of casual acquaintances, right? Take one man from New York and one from San Francisco who have never met one another. That's not reconciliation. You can build a new path forward. But one does speak of reconciling a father and son who have become estranged, a mother and a daughter who have become alienated, or a husband and wife who have become separated. Reconciliation can take place only between parties whom have some of a relationship previously, and then it's been broken. And this is true of mankind with the relationship with God, whether we've been utterly aware of it or not. Psalm 139, 13 and 14 says, "For I formed you, for you formed me, my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." We go back, read the reconciliation. The last two verses say, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Is this true of you first? Have you really received Jesus and his forgiveness? Or are you trying to do it on clean up your own life on your own? It's a gift. It's a gift to be received. Be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. That is Jesus, completely sinless. He took all the punishment. Came sin on the cross, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What a powerful message we have. There's people that we're in relationship with that don't know this yet. They don't know that they can be forgiven. They don't know that they can have a new start, be made new, reconciled to God. In right relationship with God, they don't know that yet. And we're ambassadors. We're the ones that carry that message. Commenting on 2 Corinthians 5:19. Hasn't seen it for years. And the first inclination of both of them was to run away. But they had a common binding interest in that grave. And instead of turning, they clasped hands, they held each other, and they grieved together, and they experienced a common experience there at the grave of their son. And that led to their reconciliation. It started where? What they had in common. The death of the son. It took nothing less than death to reconcile them. It takes nothing less than death, the precious blood of Christ, to reconcile humankind to God. The pronouncement, the proclamation of that is the gospel message. We have the great proclaimer of it said, the message of his reconciliation. And we are the ambassadors of this great message, the ones who are sent to proclaim this message to others on behalf of our Lord. Some, even many, will say, I don't have the gift of evangelism. Well, listen to what Paul writes to Timothy. 2 Timothy 4:5. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. night he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we bless you for the bread, for this sign of Jesus' body, for his life of compassion, for his example of humble service. This loaf unites us in the body and strengthens us for ministry. Lord, remember your body and deliver us from all evil. Those serving communion, come forward. I will.
He became sin who knew no sin, that he might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so. Blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. The bread, his blood, the wine, broken and poured out, all for love. The whole earth trembled, and the veil was torn. Love so amazing, love so amazing, Jesus Messiah.
And sent as ambassadors. Do this in remembrance of him. Jesus. Is it possible to flip to my slides again? And the last two with words on them, we will read too responsively. In the same way, Jesus took the cup, blessed it, and said, "This is my cup, new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Father, we bless you for the cup, for this sign of Jesus' shed blood, for his death on the cross and his sacrifice for sin. This cup welcomes us into the covenant of forgiveness and promises us the riches of eternal life. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed, and we have been bought over from death to life. And as often as you do this, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you again for sending Jesus. And Jesus, thank you for your blood, the blood of a new covenant, that in which we have complete forgiveness of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. But in you, the perfect sacrifice, both the lion and the lamb coming together, we have victory. We are completely forgiven and freed, made new, reconciled, and sent as ambassadors. Thank you, Jesus, for your shed blood. Amen.
Thank you.
Remembrance of him. Wow, thank you, Jesus. Just before we do our closing song, what have you received from God? How will you take hold of that this week? What's your response to God and his amazing love and what he's done for us, for you in particular? What's your response this week to him? Maybe he's brought a relationship to mind. I need to make this relationship right. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. A relationship that needs to be made right. Maybe you're here today. I've never really trusted God. I've been trying to clean my own house or whatever else. Let that solidify during this last. He's mighty to save. He has accomplished this. What do we need to receive and what's an appropriate response? Just let that solidify as we close in this song.